Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there and make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. We obviously just want to jump right in to what's been an exciting, really, we're starting a stretch run to the regular season for basketball, a really thrilling game, and we're going to start with the C&G Paving Smooth Operator of the Week. And I think it's a no-brainer this week. I think you got to go with Chris Shelton out there at Louisa.
Tuesday night, 1.2 seconds left. He drains a three, and it gives Louisa a win over Albemarle. Just a fantastic basketball game. But if you go on our website and you can see the last play and how it played out, I mean, Shelton, he's defended, and he comes off a screen. Great inbound pass to Malik Bell, to C.J. Williams, and then C.J. Over to Shelton, and it was just a smooth shot. Yeah. And then, the gym goes crazy, as expected, as they should. And this was a pinnacle moment for Louisa. They've been building up to this for a number of years. Robert Shelton, the coach over there, Louisa had been, one of those teams that sort of struggled in the bottom of the JD standings for quite some time. And his first year, they get better. Last year, they became one of those challenging teams for Charlottesville, Western, and Albemarle to play against. They were a problem, and this year they're the guy. It's them and Albemarle, 1A, 1B. I don't know how you really rank them. They hand Albemarle their first loss, but Shelton in that game, he hit 5 threes, and a lot of them were early on. And it's one of those things where Albemarle had to constantly keep an eye on him, and that makes it tough because Louise has got so many guys that they throw at you. The minutes are distributed really evenly. And when you have to pay attention to a Shelton, you lose track of Jarrett Hunter or Xavier Hunter or C.J. Williams. Malik Bell comes in. There's just so many things that they can throw at you, and especially from an effort level, that if Shelton's hot, it really sort of makes things tough on a defense. And he showed that on Tuesday night against Albemarle. I thought it was a fantastic game by him.
Shelton has had some big games when he kind of catches fire. Things get interesting for them because he can often. Yeah, I mean, Albemarle, you're not going to pull away from Albemarle. Like, I mean, you can, anybody that's played them at this point, Stab especially, can tell you. Western can tell you. Putting them away is really difficult because of Jaquan Anderson is what he does. So you're not going to pull away from them. But there have been games that could have been close that Shelton has helped transform, helped stretch it out a little bit. They're these guys who, obviously, very spread out depth-wise for them, but when he can kind of catch fire, things change a little bit.
Yeah, and they had to have it because Jaquan was doing his thing in the second half.
Oh, man.
I mean, he was just walking up to them and popping threes in people's faces and very nonchalantly doing it in the sort of the way that he has a way of doing it. But, yeah, I mean, he had 24 in that game. Albemarle comes back. Some big plays from Niall Arnold down the stretch for them to take the lead. Louisa looked like they were about to cruise with that first half. I'm not sure what was going on with Albemarle, if it was just a tough night shooting in the first half, or it was kind of a weird vibe because the energy level in that gym wasn't all that jacked up until the second half. It was actually kind of a quiet crowd in the first half. You could hear Greg Maynard calling out the plays to his players. It just it was kind of strange. And then the second half, everything goes to what we expect a good game like that, what it should sound like in a gym where it's packed like the way it was. But, yeah, I mean, talking with Shelton and Maynard after the game, that was just a fantastic high school basketball game, particularly the last 16 minutes of it, where you had Albemarle race back, and then it was just this smooth ebb and flow of, all right, I'm going to make a play, and then next guy comes up, no, it's my turn, and just really good fundamental basketball. Teams taking their times on offense, which is always nice to see at the high school level, where, you know, it's fun to have the track meet, but it's also nice when you see offenses executing. Mm-hmm. You know, screenplays being run well, and point guards like Jaquan and Jared Hunter sort of poking and prodding through defenses and figuring things out. That's the game.
Yeah, and Hunter has really been transformative. I mean, it's been fun to watch. You know, he was, I believe, the newcomer of the year for us last year. Mm-hmm. He really had a breakout year. But this year, it's so clear how in command he is. You know, we've seen, you know, UVA has all these point guards who have sort of been in command. London Perantis for years, Ty Jerome now. Jared Hunter, I mean, he, you know, there was in the Charlottesville game that I got to see before a critical play during a timeout or a dead ball sequence, he looked over at Coach Shelton and said, you know, like just flashed the play before Shelton called anything. And Shelton just nodded his head. He has a great command of the offense. He knows what they want to do in certain situations. He's been through the fire and it's clearly helping them.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be key. You know, it's weird the schedule wise, the way this game falls, because it's round two for everybody in the JD. And this one's sort of early in round two. It was the same way in round one. And, you know, the targets are on the back for Western and Louisa. And everyone's going to give them their best game. Everyone's going to play them a different way the second time around. And they're going to branch off into their own separate divisions. But I think this was good for them to, particularly for Louisa, because Albemarle's been to the playoffs. Those kids know what it's like. Mm-hmm. And Louisa, they've been there, but they haven't got a lot of experience the way Albemarle has. That game had that playoff vibe. I think the pressure sort of the moment, they talk about the play that they run. They succeed one out of five times when they do it in practice. And, they got to unveil it in that game. It's something that, you know, if they need it again in the playoffs where other teams don't have sort of the intelligence on what play is being run there,
right,
they'll be able to do it again. Just a cool atmosphere for them to get early in February, January, late January kind of thing where you know, the playoffs coming in a couple weeks, they'll bank on that sort of, okay, we can handle the pressure. We know what it's like. We know we're not going to get jittery. And I think that was the key for them in the fourth quarter is they got a little bit jittery in the third. You know, there's some officiating being made that sort of ruffles some feathers. That's going to happen in any game that you play. And Louisa sort of got through it. They processed through it and found a way to sort of not panic in the fourth and just play smooth and respond to Albemarle's energy. And that's what you have to do when you start playing these teams that they're going to have records like Albemarle's. And Albemarle, they're going to bounce back. I'm not worried about them one iota. I thought they did a fantastic job getting back into that game when they were really struggling early on. And they're a proven commodity. I don't think they have much to apologize for. They'll go back to doing what they do very quickly.
Well, certainly basketball deserves a lot of our attention, and especially when you got games like Albemarle and Louisa going down. We're getting into a really big time of year for wrestling as well. And it starts in a big way with the Jefferson District Wrestling Tournament this weekend. The district stuff matters a little more now with realignment. That can do some of the determining about who's going to regionals or who's doing, you know, possibly advancing a state, building that lineup. So, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when you get into this sort of individual tournament environment and you've got all these local guys going at it, who can kind of come out on top.
Yeah, and Western, you look at that program, the way they've sent state wrestlers, deep into those tournaments, they've sort of emerged as a good challenge. Louise has always been very good.
Always,
Orange is always very good. And for Western to come up there and challenge Louisa in a lot of these different weight classes, that's great. I mean, the JD needs that depth because once you get over to those wrestlers in the Valley, you're talking about wrestling communities that are really strong.
Or wrestling towards Fredericksburg. Like, I mean, there's some heavyweights up there in Northern Virginia. Yeah, I mean, this is not, you know, maybe not an area that you think of when you think of wrestling, but they very quickly run into a whole bunch of areas that are that you think of when you think of wrestling.
I mean, Southwest Virginia sort of seems to take the cake.
No question.
What they do over in Christiansburg and sort of the greater Roanoke area. But we've been fortunate enough to see that a lot of Central Virginia athletes have been able to push the mark. I mean, we've had a lot of state champions over the years.
I mean, when you look for this Jefferson District Tournament, kind of moving forward, some of the names that have been really impressive so far, Louisa, Mason Morris, you know, he wrestles either 132 or 138. He's a tremendous wrestler. He has been very, very good the last few years. And I think that, you know, he's just one of those kind of classic Louisa wrestlers. He's a tough guy, and so those middle weights that it becomes those little muscle hamster type guys.
Yeah,
that are tough.
And that's always been Louisa's strength, has been the sort of mid to lower weight classes, both them and Orange. They've always really excelled there, and that's just sort of their MO.
You got Austin Mills in there. And then if you move up, you get Bren Froschauer and Cole Cutright at 220. All these guys are competitors. All these guys are guys that can make runs and really make some noise in this tournament. Louisa's just always going to be tough. They're always going to be a difficult out. So it's fun to see that they've got another group this year that can really make some impact.
When you look at Western, they'll battle it out with Fluvanna and Monticello in a three-way district matchup next week that qualifies everybody for regionals. But
it starts with Jack Osry at 106. I mean, there's not very many times that you see a senior who's at 106. The guy's wiry, tough. A couple of tournaments ago, he had a banged-up shoulder, and he was able to shake that off and get the job done. I mean, and pin out for, you know, his final win of the day. So he's a tough dude. You got Colin Castrina at 113. Western is so strong at those two classes. Like, they're just very, very difficult guys to beat. Castrina came over from Covenant. He's made a really big impact in part because he's working with Overstreet. You know, it's a great training partner for both those guys. So that's a huge help. Keegan Riley, we have a long history of Rileys who have done really well in Western wrestling in the last few years. Ben and Nate, and now Keegan Riley's kind of taken up that mantle of the family at 170 pounds. He's a tough dude too. And Western has some strength up at the top, you know, at the top of the ladder too. They got Brian Bradley at 195, and Jake Jackson already has 100 wins or 100 pins, I think. He's been tremendous. Great career for that. Overstreet has 100 pins or 100 wins or whatever the mark is now too. So a heck of a performance from Western this year, and they set the table for a really nice, you know, postseason. They've got some guys who can make some noise.
Yeah, and this should be a great meet where, you know, it's a lot different than when it's just two schools going up against each other. When you get a group involved, you really get to sort of hone your craft. And that's what you know, the regional meets, the state meets, that's what it's all about, because you're wrestling multiple times in a day. It's really a test of your endurance. I mean, for people that aren't familiar with wrestling matches, I mean, the endurance level in these tournaments, I mean, it is 2 minutes of absolute grueling work.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a mental and physical test that anybody who's been in the sport will tell you. Like, there's nothing that matches it.
Yeah. It just wears you out. 2 years of varsity wrestling, an embarrassing record, I want to be very clear about. just horrible. I think I wrote a column about it a few years back, and not my strength as a sport, but I have so much respect
for
these
guys. You're like a pace horse, you know? Lead early on.
Yeah. I just get destroyed. I am part of the fastest pin in North Carolina district tournament history, I believe, at 7 seconds. I'm a part of it. I am on the receiving end of it. So, but you got to respect these guys. I mean, this is such a grind. A wrestling room is hot. It's a grueling place. Your drilling is so important. You're just working the same things over and over again so that you get to that muscle memory point. And, you know, you can have a great match and get flipped and reversed at the end and lose that progress. It's sort of a zero sum game, and you're out there by yourself. And that's a challenge. So these guys deserve all our respect. And when you look around too, I mean, it's not just going to be Louisa and Western matching up, you know, when you start talking about this, Jefferson District Tournament in particular, you got Monticello's got Jackson Perry, Ryan Smith, Gary Vaklavicek, C.J. Houchins, Christian Means. All these guys are good athletes. We know Means from in football. He's been a pretty darn good player there. I mean, you got all these guys who can really make an impact. Orange, we know, is a super proud program. And they had Nikki Benner, David Stiegler, Chance Bowers, Dylan Hale. Again, like you said, all those guys in the middleweights, those guys are at 132 to 152, and they're always going to be a tough team, always going to be difficult to figure out how to handle, you know, Orange County. And you know they're going to make an impact. They're hosting the tournament. That's going to be a big deal. But beyond the Jefferson District, there's a ton of other guys that can really make a big impact and you know, possibly make deep runs into the state. You got over at Covenant, Jacob Murray has just become a powerhouse. He's a tremendous wrestler. They got a young guy in Michael Morales at 106. And they recently welcomed our man Rick Weaver over there back.
State champion.
State champ,
the
Rick Weaver.
Back.
He's back. He's been banged up with another knee thing. And it seems like he's back. Maybe he's getting back into a groove just in time to maybe sneak out another state title. So exciting to see Rick Weaver back. But Jacob Murray, man, that guy is rugged, tough guy. I got to see him wrestle over the summer. He is just a really a powerhouse of an athlete. So, and then you got Fork Union, you know, always has some a smattering of good wrestlers. You got John Gritzkow, you got Alex Schenk out there. Those two guys could make, you know, big, deep runs. We could see, you never really know with Fork Union. You know, those guys could show up and really kind of make an impact. St. Chris is a really great
wrestler. Traditional power.
Yeah, they're just tremendous. And they I think they faced off and may have even edged out Christiansburg recently. Just an incredible program. So those guys are be the ones to watch in the private schools, but you never know with individual wrestlers kind of sneaking through there and making a big impact. And then, you know, Madison County is got Marquise Blakey and Rodney Lewis and Christian Corbin, all three guys you can make. It seems like every year Madison has two or three guys right there in the end, right there in the mix. And believe me, the 2A wrestling level is a very difficult level. I mean, every level it's tough, but 2A is tougher than 2A is in most sports because like you said about Southwest Virginia, a lot of these 2A schools are concentrated down there.
Yeah.
A lot of them have big-time wrestling cultures, so it's going to be interesting to see how they can kind of make that work, but they seem to have one or two guys really kind of sneak through there every year. And then William Monroe, Jeremy Savoy, a freshman, has had a really good year so far, and you got Connor Redsky, Will Ru- you know, they had the big man last year, Rath, won his state title, had kind of a breakthrough year. Maybe that set the table for some new Dragons to really make an impact. So a lot of fun to see what's been going on out there and happening. And this postseason is really where it counts. This is really where you make your impact as a wrestler. And it's going to be fun to see what these guys are able to put together. So thanks for listening. We'll be sure to cover a lot of this wrestling stuff coming up in the next few weeks. A lot of basketball district tournaments right around the corner. So certainly check back in with us, and we appreciate you listening.